Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or seeking to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and Psych Reg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as clinical psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back. We're going to continue our discussion of addiction today.
Addiction.
But today is a little bit, slightly different.
It is.
And using a phrase that causes me a little bit of trouble.
I always tighten up a little bit when I hear this one.
Yes. So, but this is an article written by... what's published on our blog, the PsychReg, and it's written by Ana Pinto Coelho.
Right.
She writes often for for PsychReg, and she graduated from the University of Oxford and is living in Portugal doing some of her work. And but the name of this topic or the name of this article is "How to Spot a Functional Alcoholic."
Right, right.
The functional alcoholic part is the part that I have a challenge
almost
with.
An oxymoron.
It is.
You know, it's like jumbo shrimp.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Functional alcoholic.
And the reason...
But
go ahead.
Just one more thing.
Uh-huh.
This is a more European perspective.
Yeah.
Okay? There's an American perspective and there's a Europe, but there's a lot of overlap. And
right.
That's one of the things I like about this.
Yeah. And I think that certainly she's using it here because it's a phrase that is often used,
right.
and the way that we'll talk about it, it maybe makes sense and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But the issue primarily with it, very briefly, with the term functional alcoholic, is that technically speaking, if one is an alcoholic, diagnostically, if a person is an alcoholic, they don't function very well.
You have a functional deficit.
You have a functional impairment. Right.
And that's the difference with the DSM. When
right.
using the DSM, we talk to patients all the time about that,
mm-hmm.
is that if you're an alcoholic, you have a functional impairment.
Right.
That's why we said functional alcoholic is a little bit of an oxymoron.
Right. Because as we were talking about this, you'll see what the phrase means, but from a diagnostic perspective,
right.
I suppose,
right.
You can't be an alcoholic and function, because by definition, if you're an alcoholic, you have dysfunction. You're not functioning well.
And one of the essential points that she makes is you might be functioning presently.
Right.
But eventually, the wheels are going... If you're
Absolutely.
An alcoholic, eventually the wheels are going to fall off.
Right.
That's the point that
right.
she makes. It's only a matter of time.
Right. So let's talk a little bit, I guess, about what we really mean by... What is meant by this phrase, functional alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
And personal disclosure, I think that my father would have fallen into this category.
Yeah.
He, you know, he was up at 5 o'clock every day, was at
work
every day,
right.
you know, he was one of the top performers.
Mm-hmm.
But by 5:15,
right.
he was in the bar and was almost two drinks deep.
Right.
And yeah. And then his night was a blur from there. He drank heavily most nights.
And we see this beginning with many teenagers.
Right.
Is that they will go to school during the day,
mm-hmm.
do okay.
Right.
Or they will go to work in the summer. You know, they'll go to work. They graduate from college or high school, go to work during the day. And then at night they start drinking.
Right.
And they drink until they pass out.
Right.
Or they smoke weed until they pass out.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what is meant by functional alcoholic is that they tend to meet most of their daily obligations.
That's right.
But they continue to have sort of an addiction to some substance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So again, you know, when we talk about alcoholism, you know, that one then might look at, you know, the example I just gave with my father, that, you know, then maybe he wasn't an alcoholic. Well, he was, because he met other criteria. His you know, functioning from a social perspective was very, very poor.
Well, see, and we can't forget that. But
right.
when we talk about functional abilities, we're also including your ability to function socially, not just vocationally.
Right,
mm-hmm.
right. So there's lots of different ways in which, and, you know,
mean, I ended up sharing a little bit more than I thought, but, you know, DUIs and things like that.
You and I shared worked together with a family maybe 10 or 12 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the dad always argued that he went to work every day and he provided for his family and he did what he was supposed to. They had a boat and they went out. But he came home and drank anywhere from 12 to 18 bottles of beer every
night.
You can't do that and be available for your children.
Right.
And eventually those children separated from him.
Right.
And they eventually got divorced.
Right.
So while he was vocationally still productive, his family was falling apart.
Right.
And I think that's what Anna means by eventually the wheels are going to come off. You can't do both.
Right. Yeah. It definitely... you can't, it's not sustainable.
You can't sustain it.
Yeah.
That's her point.
Right.
So be very careful. Mm-hmm. You know, we talked a lot about the oxymoronic flavor of functional alcoholic. And so be careful. If somebody is drinking or smoking or doing anything to excess, you know, Bert, how many times have you seen somebody who's like, well, my husband comes home and he gets on the internet for the rest of the night.
Right.
He goes to work every day.
Right.
But he's not available for family.
Yeah, you know, maybe that's an interesting point. That maybe what we should think about is that a functional alcoholism is that period of time between going from a functioning person to a dysfunctioning person. That brief transitional period.
It's a transitional stage, right? And that's what I liked about this article is that I hadn't thought of it as a transitional phase before, but that's really how she's discussing it. And I think she's right, that eventually no good is going to come of this.
Right,
Right.
Yeah, like my father ended up losing his job and all those kinds of things because that tends to happen.
That's what's going to eventually happen. So when people say, no, I can handle it, no, you can't. Eventually, no, you can't.
Right, right. So this column does a very nice job of sort of outlining a lot of this and talking about, you know, what we need to do to recognize some of these trends and characteristics in some of our loved ones and people that we interact with.
And to get help before the wheels fall off.
Right.
And I think that's the other important thing here is that because it's transitional, get help before you get there. Don't delude yourself into thinking that, well, number one, if you're the abuser, that you say to yourself, well, I can handle this, okay, that's delusional.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're the partner or even the children of a person who's headed in this direction, that you take action before the wheels come off.
Right. Yeah, and we tend to, one of the points that she makes in this blog post is that, you know, oftentimes we're living next to these people.
Sure.
People who would be considered functional alcoholics. And we then come back later when the wheels fall off and we say, wow, I never even recognized. It's usually because we weren't paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because what we tend to do is we tend to think, man, how does he come to work every day after having a night like that? That's a clue, right? It's like
there are these little flags that pop up,
right?
You know, man, how do you do that?
And we tend to put them off aside. We tend to think, oh, well, you know, he just handles his alcohol really well.
It's in plain sight,
but it's there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah, but we just don't see it.
Right.
I mean, it's there and we don't see it.
Right, right. So near the end, of the column, she talks about some very specific things to look for that you might see, like a person who, you know, goes out to dinner or goes out to lunch and drinks instead of eating. And, you know, a person who talks about waking up with a hangover most days.
Right.
You know, a person who, you know, is so eager to get out the door to get to the bar, the drink, or the, whatever the substance is.
They have to get there a little bit early to have a couple drinks before dinner.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, these are all signs of addiction. These are all signs of dependence, you know, especially we think of the physiological dependence, like with the shakes and sort of that fidgetiness, that sweating and all that kind of stuff. But there's the psychological dependence as well, where we have one of the things that I've said before about what I would see with my dad was, you know, on Saturdays, my son would have a football game or a soccer match or something like that, and then it would start at 10 o'clock, and they rarely started on time. And so they would start around 10:30, And he would be there for like the first 5 or 10 minutes, but he would have to go because his favorite bar opened at 11 and he needed to be there when it opened. And it wasn't physiological because he worked all week long and he could go from until 5 p.m. Yeah. without drinking anything. Mm-hmm. That was sort of a psychological dependence that, hey, it's open, I'm not working, I need to be there.
Right.
And he would go there and he would spend the whole day there. Mm-hmm. And so it was pretty clear that he had this physiological aspect, but it was certainly a psychological right. aspect as well. Mm-hmm. And but again, all those signs are there.
They're there.
If you see mm-hmm. them.
Right.
We just have to be cognizant of them. And as you said a moment ago, then be willing to say or do something to head it off at the pass before mm-hmm. it gets to the point where the wheels fall off.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's a great article. It's a great thing to be thinking about, especially if you have a loved one or a friend or someone who maybe consumes some substance mm-hmm. or does some behavior more than you think is healthy. You know, this post provides you some nice little strategies, nice little things to think about mm-hmm. to check out.
The other thing that I've noticed about functional alcoholics is that the substance, whether it's alcohol or weed or whatever it is, it's always present.
Right.
No matter what they do, if they're going to a game, we have to bring beer. If they're going fishing, got to bring mm-hmm. beer. They're going to the beach, got to bring beer.
Mm-hmm.
You always have to have the substance with you.
Right.
And if you start seeing those patterns, mm-hmm. that it just becomes a central focus of right. everything you do,
right.
it might be starting to become a problem.
Mm-hmm. That's a great point. One day we'll do a podcast, I'm sure, on eating disorders.
Yeah.
And what happens, what we know with eating disorders is that people who have anorexia and bulimia, and we tend to think of them as food avoidant mm-hmm. Oftentimes, mm-hmm. Research suggests that they actually spend more time thinking about foods than anyone else. That is a primary thought that they have in their mind.
That's right. They're
obsessed. What am I going to eat? When can I eat next?
And they're thinking about it all day long.
Right.
And they're counting calories and they're counting grams and they're thinking about when's the next meal, how mm-hmm. do I get it, how do I avoid it, what do yeah. I do, where's the restroom? Yes, it's obsessive.
Right, mm-hmm. and that's what happens with these other addictions as well, is
right.
that it just, as you said, it's a central theme mm-hmm. of everything that they think about and talk about. And
yeah, where's the beer? Where's yeah. the cooler always has to be with you.
Right,
you
know? Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely so. All right, anything else?
No, good.
All right, so enjoy the...
Thank you, Anna.
Yes, it was really good. Mm-hmm. So, all right, until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.